That's a good song. Thank you. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. The first word that we encounter in Hebrews 10, verse 1, is the law. The word law. Sometimes in the scriptures, the word law means all the word of God, as it's written in the law and the prophets. The word by the prophets. Sometimes the word law in the word of God refers to the moral law. The moral law of God. I shall have no other God before me. I shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honor thy father and thy mother. The moral law of God. But here, the word law is talking about the law of ceremony and sacrifice, the law of the priesthood and the tabernacle, the law of circumcision, the law which God outlined to Moses on Mount Sinai regarding the worship of the Lord, the priesthood and the sacrifices that was to be in effect throughout the whole Old Testament period. And God said to Moses, see that you make and do everything according to my word and specifications. And that's what Moses did. And two things are said in this opening verse about this ceremonial law. Two things very decisive are stated about this law of ceremony and circumcision sacrifices. Number one, it's a shadow. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. This ceremonial law, with all of its natural and material and carnal washings and sacrifices, things that are real, but yet a shadow, a type. A picture, not the real thing, not the true life, not the true way to God, not the true worship of God. It's a picture. That's all it is. The law, the whole ceremonial law, is a shadow of good things to come, a picture of good things to come, and not the very image of the good things to come. Christ is the image of God. He's the exact image of God. He's the truth. I'm the way, the true way. I'm the truth. I'm the true life. But this ceremonial law is a shadow. That's all it ever was and all it was meant to be. It was a picture and not the very image of those things. And the second word that identifies this ceremonial law, it's a shadow. But the second word that tells us about this ceremonial law is the word never. It can never. It can never. See that in verse 1? It can never save, it can never perfect, it can never put away sin. Never, never, ever. It can never, with those sacrifices, no matter how many or how sincere or how accurate, which they offer year by year continually, never make the comers thereunto perfect. Never. Now when we talk about Christ's sacrifice and his priesthood, over here in verse 14, the word used is forever. Forever. These sacrifices could never put away sin. Never make the comers perfect. Comers thereunto perfect. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So this is the subject of this chapter. The law, never. Christ, forever. All right, verse 2. Here are two other things that I brought to our attention. Verse 1 said the law is a shadow. That's all it ever is. It never was given to save. Never. All right, secondly, verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? These sacrifices, blood sacrifices, atonement, offerings, if they could put away sin, what's the first thing to be surmised? That ceased to be offered. Why would they cease to be offered? Well, the second thing is this, because if these sacrifices, if the Passover lamb could have put away sin, or the atonement which Aaron offered, the second results would be this. The worshipers, once purged, would have no more conscience of sin. If they could put away sin, if these Old Testament sacrifices could put away sin, they'd offered one, and that'd been it. Sin would be put away, and the people wouldn't bring any more sacrifices because they wouldn't have any more conscience of sin. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight over in verse 18. Turn over there. Verse 18, listen. Where remission of sins is, there's no more offering. Isn't that clear? Where forgiveness is and remission and sins are purged, you don't keep offering sacrifices. There's no more offering. That's the reason the Mass is foolish. There's no more offering for sin. Christ is not sacrificed again. It's foolish. It's over. There's no more offering. And secondly, they'd have no more conscience of sin. Our guilt would be gone. Listen, and because Christ puts away sin, number one, there's no more offering. Secondly, and we have therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, as long as that tabernacle stood and those sacrifices were offered, that veil remained. And the priest would go under the veil once a year, the high priest, with a blood sacrifice, and the censer with the incense, which is the prayers of Christ, alone, once a year. People out here, God's presence in here, the mercy seat in here, the Shekinah glory in here. And people out here, they don't come to God. The priest comes to God for them. They don't ever come to God. The priest prays for them, sacrifices for them, talks for them, and takes what God has to say out to them. But they never come in. Now, if that sacrifice could put away sin, like Christ did, that veil would be rent in two. And that's what happened. Rent in two when he died. No more offering. No more priesthood. No more sacrifices. No more incense. No more coming into it. God's out here now, dwelling in his people. And we're all priests, and we all offer sacrifices of praise. And we come right into the presence of God because we don't have any more conscience of sin. We're not here this morning full of guilt. We're here full of praise. Of course we're sinners. Are you proud of everything you did this week? You proud of everything you did today? No. But you're not bowed down with shame and guilt. Why are you smiling? Because Christ died. Because God receives you and loves you, and he says, come boldly into the presence of God with full assurance, having your heart sprinkled with the blood of Christ and your conscience washed with pure water. So that's what verse 2 says. He says, if these sacrifices could put away sin, they'd stop offering them. And the people would stop moaning and groaning, and they'd come to God. That's what Christ did for us. All right, verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sin every year. And we're not talking about the people remembering their sins. Of course they do. We still do. David said, my sins are ever before me. But this verse is not talking about them remembering their sins. Of course they will, always will. David remembered his sins till he died. He said, I tell you, God made a covenant with me, and that's my only hope. That's right. This is talking about God remembering. That's what this is talking about. It's every time that a sacrifice was offered and brought before the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, it is saying God still holds us accountable for our sins. He remembers them, and they're against us. That's what that said. The fact that Almighty God required that the Passover lamb be slain every year, the atonement every year, the scapegoat offered every year, the daily sacrifices every day, declares one thing: the law is not satisfied. That's what it declares. Justice is not satisfied. Every time that high priest went into the Holy of Holies, it screamed loud and clear, justice is not satisfied yet. The law is not honored yet. But when Christ died, look at verse 17. God declared, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Oh, that's the key. I don't mind remembering them. I want to. I want to confess my sins and weep over my sins and repent of my sins and try to do better. But I don't want God to remember. That's what the thief on the cross said. Lord, remember me. Don't remember my sins. And that's the only way. These sacrifices, verse 3 says, it screams loud and clear, sins are remembered by God. By God. But when Christ died, he said, I remember him no more. You do, but he doesn't. I'm not here to explain that. I'm here to proclaim it. I know it's so. He doesn't remember our sin anymore. Verse 4. It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You see, sin is a transgression of the law. And for the sin not to be remembered, the law has to pronounce it removed. See, it's a transgression of the law. And the only way that sins cannot be remembered is to be removed. And that's what Christ did. He removed our sins so they're not remembered. He took them away. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Like the scapegoat of old, he bore them away. So that's the reason the blood of bulls and goats can't do it, but Christ can. Sin must be punished by justice. And for sin not to be remembered, justice has got to be satisfied. And when Christ died and gave a full payment, justice was satisfied. And sins are not remembered. That's the reason the bulls and goats cannot do it. Bulls and goats can't honor the law. Bulls and goats can't satisfy justice, but he can. Look over here at chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come and a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. See, sin is a transgression of the law. And Christ removed the sins, and the law is satisfied. And your sins are remembered no more. Sin is a transgression and an offense against justice. And justice has to be satisfied. The justice of God has to be satisfied. And Christ did that and removed our sins. So they're not remembered anymore. Now, you know, let's look at verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will. You know, I've tried to say over and over again that everything that Christ said and did is written in the Old Testament. Everything that is in the New Testament in regard to Christ's redemption is prophesied in the Old Testament. These exact words, Paul said, are the words of our Lord. Well, let's read them in Psalm 40. Way back here, when David reigned, when David wrote the Psalms. Here's a Psalm of David. David, our Lord's called the Son of David. Now, remember that, what I just read, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, a body. Lo, I come to do thy will. Here's David writing back in the Old Testament. Of whom does he speak? Well, who speaks here? David? No, sir. The Son of David. Christ speaks here. Listen, Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy faults which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, my ears hast thou digged, the bondservant. Burnt offerings and sacrifice and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Who is this? This is Christ speaking. This is our Lord Jesus. You see, God calls those things which be not yet as though they were. Back here in Psalm 40, the work of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the sin offering of Christ is declared by David in the very words of Christ. And the things which are not yet, God declares them to be. In his mind and purpose, they are. All right, verse 8. Above, when he said, when David wrote, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein which are offered by the law. You see, these sacrifices that Aaron and all the other priests offered, they were but shadows and pictures of Christ. Pictures and types of our Lord's redemptive work. And in them, in the picture, justice was never satisfied, the law was never honored, and God was never pleased. A picture of a criminal behind bars doesn't satisfy the law. Not till they apprehend him, put him behind bars. That's when the law satisfies. When the criminal is apprehended, not a picture of him behind bars or a picture of him being executed, but when the law actually apprehends him, puts him in prison, and puts him to death, the law satisfies. Justice is satisfied. And that's what he's saying here, that pictures don't satisfy the law or please God. But when Christ is apprehended, our scapegoat, our substitute, our sacrifice, when justice, when the law apprehended him and justice slew him, the law was satisfied on our behalf. That's right. That's what that's saying. In these pictures, I hope you see what I'm saying there. That's, pictures won't do it. You've got to apprehend the guilty party. He's got to be tried. He's got to be sentenced. He's got to pay his debt. And there, when he's dead, the law has no more claim. He that's dead is free from the sin. He that's dead is free from the law. He that's dead, justice has no claim. He's paid his debt. And Christ was apprehended. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was brought to trial. None declared his generation. It pleased God to bruise him, and with his stripes we're healed. And he was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many, and the law has no claim on us whom he represented. Justice has no quarrel with us. A man who's dead and paid his debt, he doesn't run from the law, because the law has no claim. All right, verse 9. When our Lord Jesus came in the flesh, now listen carefully to this, when our Lord came in the flesh, he said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. All right, I come to do thy will. Now this is written in the Old Testament, I come to do thy will. This is written of Paul about Christ, I come to do thy will. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Let me show you two scriptures that clearly define this will. Romans 9. The will of God. I come to do thy will, O God. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Romans 9, beginning with verse 9. Here's the will of God. This is the word of promise right now. At this time will I come. I will come. Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, at the purpose of God, the will of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, him that willeth. It said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? God forbid. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's the will of God. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's my will. Read on. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of man that willeth, or of man that runneth. It's of God that shows mercy. What is the will of God? To show mercy. That's God's will. To show mercy. Show mercy to whom he will show mercy. All right, John 6. That's Christ said, I come to do thy will. And that's his will, to show mercy. It goes all the way back to Moses. Law of first mention. Now John 6. John 6. Let's begin reading with verse 36. John 6, 36. This is our Lord Jesus speaking. I said to you, you've seen me and believe not. But some people are going to believe. You don't, he said. That's what he said to these religious Pharisees. You've seen me. You don't believe. But all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now go back to my text and listen. I come to do thy will, O God. And he says, repeats it right here in verse 38. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is my Father's will, which hath sent me. What is the will of God? That of all which he hath given me, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. All which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, not a one of them. But I'll raise them up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me. I come to do thy will. That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up again at the last day. That's the will of God. All the way through the Word, starting back there, Psalm 40, I come to do thy will. And God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And the only way you see that God can have mercy is for Christ to satisfy the law. Honor justice. When Christ came, he enabled God to do his will. He enabled God to be just and justify. Christ Jesus, by his sacrifice, enabled God to show mercy. He can't show mercy without sacrifice. Mercy and truth have got to meet together. Righteousness and peace have got to operate at the same time. They can't operate separately. And God says, I will show mercy. No, you won't, unless the law is satisfied and justice is honored. I will be gracious. No, you won't. Not unless your law is honored and sacrificed and justice is satisfied. So Christ said, I'll go and do your will. I'll redeem every one of them you gave me. I'll save every one of them. I've come to seek and to save the lost. I've come to find my sheep, and I'll find them. And God will be gracious and merciful to them. Now he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first what? That law, that's just a shadow. That ceremony and sacrifice and all these priesthood and all these things, it can never put away sin. He takes them away and establishes the second. Who's the second? He's Christ. The second Adam, the first Adam's of the earth, and the second Adam's the Lord from heaven. In the first Adam we died, and the second Adam we're saved and redeemed. So all this he takes away. Takes away the first Adam, takes away the first covenant. and the everlasting covenant ring. He takes away the first Adam, the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. Takes away the first ceremony. Takes away the first priesthood. Takes away the first sacrifices. Takes away our old nature. Gonna put it in the ground. Old nature, gonna put him in the ground. This body returned to the ground from whence it came, and the soul to God who gave it. Where'd the soul come from? Christ redeemed it. Our old bodies, incorrupt, will be raised anew by old heaven, old earth. All these things will be removed. Takes away the first. All right, verse 10. What is the will of God? I'll be merciful through Christ. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. How does God show mercy? Through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. By God's will. Turn to John 1 and listen to this. Everybody is trying to make so much of the will of man, the will of man, the free will of man, and man's will is not free. It's in bondage to sin. It's in bondage to sin. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. How else would I gather that you will not? You would not. But God gives us the will. He makes us willing. Look at verse 12 of John 1. As many as received Christ, to them gave he the power, gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of natural ancestry or genealogy, not of the will of man, of the flesh, not of the will of man. They're born of God. They're born of God's will. By the which will we're sanctified. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. All right. In coming to a close. Now look at verse 11. Here's a comparison between that old priesthood and the new. Every priest, lots of them, standeth, never sit down because their work's never done. Offering, oftentimes, same sacrifices over and over again. Why? Because they never take away sin. But Christ, this man, the God-man, not just the man, but the God-man, after he had offered one sacrifice, his own blood, for sins, whose sins? Our sins. He bore our transgressions in his body on the tree. Forever, not many times, one time, one covenant, one priest, one sacrifice, forever, sat down because he finished his work. Where? As high as you can be seated. As high as you can be seated, the right hand of God. And having finished his work, he entered his rest. Now this is why. Verse 14 starts with far. Why did he sit down at the right hand of God? Why did he expect his enemies to be vanquished? Why are his people saved and secure? Why do we find rest in him? All right, here it is, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever, as perfect as he is, them that are sanctified. And therefore the Holy Ghost, now here's another quotation from Jeremiah, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For he said before, well, let's see where he said this before. Turn to Jeremiah 31. Let's see where he said this before. He said before, this is the covenant. Let's see where he said it before. Jeremiah 31, 33. Beautiful. He said it before. Now listen. Let's start with verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. The days of the Messiah. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Jacob, Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. That's not the Jews, that's all believers. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law, not in an ark, not on tables of stone, I'll put my law in their hearts. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write my law on their hearts. I'll be their God, they'll be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They won't need those prophets to speak to them all the time, because they all gonna know me. Every believer will know me, from the least to them to the greatest of them. I will forgive their iniquities. I'll remember their sins no more. All right, my text, and I'll close. Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities that I remember no more. Blessed are they whose guilt is gone, whose sins are washed in Jesus' blood, whose hope is fixed on Christ alone, whom he hath reconciled to God. Though traveling through this vale of tears, we many trials and temptations meet. But God's word this witness bears, we stand in Christ Jesus complete. This pearl of price no works can claim, it's a gift, both rich and sweet. This faithful promise bears a name, we stand in Christ Jesus complete. One offering for sin. Tonight, no more offering. All right, let's sing a hymn.